This is A Wee Bit of Everything, the podcast that explores all things sport and teaching.
Welcome back to a brand new series of the Obo Podcast. In this series, we interview Olympic and Paralympic athletes as we dive into their PE experiences and career highlights.
This series is in partnership with SAT-PE, and we're looking forward to collaborating together to provide the very best professional learning platform for PE teachers in Scotland. Be sure to get signed up to SAT-PE on their website to keep up to date with the latest developments in physical education. Let's get started with this week's episode of A Wee Bit of Everything.
Hello and welcome back to this week's episode of the A Wee Bit of Everything podcast with your hosts, Lewis and Clark. This week sees the second episode of our athlete series. And on the podcast this week, we have Libby Clegg, who is a Scottish Paralympic athlete runner who competes at 100 metre and 200 metre distances. She's represented both Scotland and Great Britain at international levels. Libby has also represented Great Britain in the 100 metre and 200 metre at the 2008 Summer Paralympic Games, winning a silver medal in the 100 metre race. Libby also won gold in Rio at the 2016 Paralympic Games in 100 metres, where she broke the world record and 200 metres, beating the previous Paralympic record in the process, thus making her a double Paralympic champion. So quite a decorated career from Libby. So it'll be interesting to get her on to hear her thoughts on the kind of PE side of things and to obviously hear her a little bit more into her background. So as always, Clark's going to take us away with the next part and tell us a wee bit about what's in store for tonight's episode.
I'll take you away. I will do it. So Libby Clegg is coming on tonight, as Lewis said. We're looking forward to speaking to her. We're going to touch on her career achievements and a bit of a background on her career as an athlete. Today, we're going to talk about her favourite and least enjoyable moments in PE, which I think will be interesting. We're going to talk about how PE's impacted her beyond her sporting achievements. For example, is athletic achievements built any life skills that's helped her overcome any challenges in her life? We're going to speak about how inclusive PE was for Libby when she was at school, and then the value that PE has to contribute on a child's attainment and wellbeing. We'll have a wee discussion about that to finish it off. There will be no quickfire round, or will there, Lewis? There will be, actually. There will be. I was thinking we were on the...
Oh, the comparison ones.
The comparisons.
We're on a different series.
I'm jumping between series here.
Jump ahead of yourself there.
I was. So Lewis will round us off with a quickfire round, so, and that'll cap us off for tonight. So let's get Libby onto the show. Welcome to the Wee Bit of Everything podcast, Libby. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm great as well. I'm great. I'm enjoying my Monday so far. It's been a good day, so I'm looking forward to chatting to you tonight on all things running. So thanks very much for coming on.
You're more than welcome.
Just to kick us off, would you be able to give us a brief intro to your career to date in terms of your running?
I can do. I mean, it's pretty long. Even when I try and keep it brief, it's still quite a long intro. Basically, to cut a long, very long story short, I got diagnosed with my eye condition when I was 9, which is Stargardt's macular dystrophy, and during that time, I'd also been doing tap, ballet, and modern. I'd been dancing, and obviously was very enthusiastic in PE. And when I was 9, my parents decided that I could actually go to my local athletics club, which I'd been begging them to go for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And that was really where my sort of real love for athletics came in, to be honest. Going to the club, it obviously started off as like one night a week, and then two nights a week, and then I was there more and more to the point where I was there nearly every day. And then, yeah, I was in mainstream sport, so able-bodied. I was in an able-bodied club, trained with mainstream athletes. I think I was the only disabled person, actually, in my club at the time. And I had a really supportive running club. They were great. Mm-hmm. And then my parents decided to just introduce me to other kids that couldn't see very well, because at that point, I'd never really met anybody else that couldn't see. And that's when I joined British Blind Sports, And from there on, I just started going to more and more squad sort of weekends that they had where we could all meet up as like blind kids. And yeah, progressed from there, really. Went to more competitions together, went away together.
And then so would you say that kind of club is really important then, if you kind of to go back to the club? Is that a real moment where you kind of it all led from there?
Definitely. So having a really supportive athletics club is crucial, really. Mm-hmm. They were great with me. They got told straight away when I got diagnosed with my condition what I was wrong and how it was going to get like progress and get worse. And they were really accommodating, and they were just a really nice bunch of people, to be honest. Not only the coaches, but you know, the parents and the kids that I was training with were really, really good and really understanding. So I was very, very fortunate. And that was really where my love for athletics had sort of come then, from there, being mm-hmm. around that club environment. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'd obviously done PE in school, so the reason why I wanted to go to a running club was predominantly because I really liked sports day in school.
Yeah.
I was very, very shy. I didn't like talking to anybody. I didn't really have any friends. I wasn't particularly popular, but I was very, very competitive.
Yeah, that's good.
So to sports day, I was like elbows out, just like a different person would appear. So
I think sport changes people, doesn't it? Sometimes reveals your true character, as I say.
Definitely.
It definitely does. So like that was really, that was why I really wanted to go to an athletic school, because I liked winning, funnily enough. And what a better way than to try and win is crossing a finish line. So sports day was really like probably the inspiration. And then my club was like the backbone, really. They're the ones that, you know, that I'd go to every week. It was good though. I did enjoy sports day. I love PE.
Brilliant.
The other girls were like, no. And I was like, yes.
Just loving it, right? Well, we always like those types of pupils in our classes.
Aye, absolutely. It makes our life easier.
Makes it a joy to teach.
Unless they're over competitive, in which case you're trying to channel that. But
oh, that's difficult.
it's always good. You can never fault Andy for being competitive, I don't think, anyway.
No. And then a wee bit about kind of more recently then, how's your running going in terms of 100 metre, 200 metre?
I mean, I've finally now retired from running the 100 and 200 metres.
Okay.
I've now retired from that because my body is very broken. My Achilles has given up, and I thought I'd quite like to be able to run around with my son at some point.
Yeah,
without hobbling. I've stopped running at the moment, and I have to say I actually don't miss it. I don't miss physically running. I miss the social element, because I had a really fantastic training group, and they were a club group actually, and I really enjoyed the socialising and the team effort and the team support within mm-hmm. the club. So that was really good. But I'm currently cycling, and it's very different. The thing is, I can do my turbo trainer now, and I don't have to get wet. I can just do something.
Yeah. It's a good workout.
It's very different. Mm-hmm. It's not sociable, which...
Nah. It's a bit I always used to find I used to get a good sweat up in the turbo for some reason. I don't know if it was because I was indoors, but I just used to sweat so much.
Yeah, definitely. I think if you go out on the road, it's a lot better for you, and I think you can be a lot more sociable then, because I know some of the athletes I'm chatting to, they go on little coffee stops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need to definitely invest in a turbo trainer. That I was out my bike yesterday, and the wind and the rain, it was torture. Like it's so difficult cycling in the wind. See with your turbo trainer, do you use any like programs with like Zwift or anything like that? They give you like coached workouts and stuff, or do you just kind of do your own thing?
So I've recently got onto Zwift, and I really like it.
Right.
I think it's really good. It just adds a bit of variety into your training. Because I was finding if I was just doing a session on the turbo, it just was really boring. I was like, I had a 2-hour bike ride. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
It's soul destroying.
Right.
For 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Zwift has definitely been a bit of a game changer for me, to be honest. I really enjoy it.
Yeah. The good thing about the turbo is you can put a game of football on and cycle for that and just watch something on the TV.
That is very true. You can do it
in front of the living room, I suppose.
Yeah, I've been doing that, and I listen to like listening to podcasts and listening to music.
Yeah, you can do other stuff.
Yeah, so it's good.
Brilliant. Right, Libby, thanks for sharing that with us then. So that was a good wee insight into your background and to kind of where you are now. So I'm going to kind of a wee trip down memory lane to back when you were at high school. So kind of two parts to this question. Going to look at, I suppose maybe you've already shared some of your favourite experience in PE in relation to your sports day. But we're going to ask you about your favourite and or your least enjoyable moments in PE. So do you have any that kind of stick out, like predominantly in your mind when you think back to school and you think back to your experiences in PE?
So I went to a mainstream high school for 1 year,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't want me doing PE.
Right.
I could do elements of PE, but I wasn't included in the whole of PE.
Right. So how did you find that? Like,
it was very difficult, you know, because that was like my favourite class, mm-hmm. and then I wasn't allowed to participate with most of it, so I could only play at certain times of the year, and one of them was like they played like tag rugby and they wouldn't let me play tag rugby,
mm-hmm.
And then they wouldn't let me even like play netball because I was just rubbish.
Yeah.
So it was a bit rude. They let me do cross country, which I find really funny, mm-hmm. a bit bizarre. I think it's because they knew I was already running.
Yeah.
And like they'd play like badminton and things like that, and I just wasn't allowed to play with them, and it was just a bit rubbish. So I'd have to sit on the side, which was a bit naff. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe when I was in high school, there wasn't as much education around including people and adapting. Whereas I think there is a lot more of that now, which is really positive. So it was a bit sad, but at the same time, I didn't really let it bother me.
Mm-hmm. Out with those experiences, you still had like your athletics club and that kind of element of things out with school.
Yeah, so I was still going to my athletics club and I was still dancing as well. So
you said about your
I still had other things that was sort of stimulating me in mm-hmm. that way outside of school. And then my parents decided to move schools, so I ended up going to the Royal Blind School in Edinburgh. And obviously, mm-hmm. it's a blind school, and everyone's uh-huh. blind. Uh-huh. So they did things a little bit differently. So we were always included in all elements of PE.
That's good.
Yeah, it was great. And they had a few different clubs that they would also send you to after school.
Mm-hmm.
Judo was one of the clubs that I personally didn't go to, but we all had you could do that. And they ran their own like athletics club, which I did go to, but I then also went to my other club, my other athletics club. And then you know, they did things like that outside, swimming, all sorts of stuff outside of school curriculum, mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very inclusive. So we'd play like basketball. It'd just be slightly adapted, so everybody could play. And it was fine. It was fun. It was still really, really enjoyable. It was just sometimes like basketball would be slightly slower because mm-hmm. we'd have to do like a different call. So some of the people that are completely blind would know where we were, so we wouldn't just run into them.
Yeah,
and things like that. So yeah, we just adapted it, and it was really, really good.
So see, for the likes of basketball and stuff like that, because I know like with blind football, there's like a bell in the ball, and there's certain adaptations. Is it similar to basketball as well?
Yeah, it's similar. So we'd also have a bell, and depending on the level of people, so if it was some of us that had a bit more vision, mm-hmm. we would play it more like a normal basketball game.
Yeah.
But then if there was people with lower vision, we would then, as soon as they got the ball or they were past the ball, we would all stand still, and then mm-hmm. We would allow their teammates to call them.
Right, okay.
Where they were, and then they could throw the ball to them, and then as soon as they started throwing the ball, we could then move to obviously try and attack. So it was just, we just played it a little different, but it was fine.
So you're not allowed to defend in it then, kind of, and you've just got to try and...
So, yeah, you could defend, but as soon as somebody with really low vision would get the ball...
Right, that's when they would...
That's when we would sort of stop play and then...
That's interesting.
Yeah, then just allow them to be able to listen to where their teammates were, Kind of thing. But as soon as the ball left their hands, like, we'd all be then there trying to get the ball off them.
Right, okay, got you.
As long as we did. I mean, I ended up getting a dead leg, actually, playing basketball with a bunch of blind people, so the accidents do happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just different.
So, let me say, if you don't mind me asking, a nine-year-old, when you're diagnosed with eye condition, did you, like, were you able to partially see at all at school during PE, or was your sight completely taken away?
No, so I've still got a little bit of vision now on my left eye, but basically I was still pretty, like, well from compared to what I am now, I was pretty well sighted still.
Yeah.
So when I was nine, I got diagnosed and I got told, oh, you know, you're going to be disabled. I was like, oh, what does that even mean? Mm-hmm. Like, disabled people to move people in wheelchairs, not me. I didn't associate myself with it. So it's a bit strange being labelled as disabled and not having that sort of association with it. But I, you know, as I've got older, I've lost my sight gradually. And you know, it's just one of those things where you get on with, and you learn to adapt. I learn to adapt to my day-to-day life, you know, all sorts of things. You know, I live independently, so you have to sort of get over things.
Yeah. Find different ways of doing things, I suppose.
Definitely. And that's what I've done in sport as well, you know, just found a different way around it.
Suppose sport must have been like such a like a, an important part of your life then, to kind of like mentally as well, I suppose, like for your kind of mental well-being.
I mean, definitely. I think so. When I say I was like shy, I was really shy. I didn't talk to anybody, and I didn't like meeting new people. I felt really uncomfortable and really awkward. And sport forced me into uncomfortable situations that I felt very anxious about. But it made me do those things, because I knew if I didn't do them, I wasn't going to get anywhere. And I really enjoyed that enjoyment of my sport was what drove me. So, you know, it forced me to not only have to learn how to talk to people that I didn't know, you know, like joining a new club or introducing yourself to new people that have come in. But it taught me how to be more independent. So, you know, if I wanted to go to a competition or training, I had to get the bus sometimes, or I had to get the train. And it was just something that I had to do if I wanted to continue. So it forced me to be independent and be more confident, really. Because if I wasn't going to be confident, I was just never going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
So even then, further down that line, when, you know, I started to have success in my sport, you know, get invited to awards evenings and things, and, you know, I don't know anybody.
Yeah.
But I'd have to go on my own sometimes and have to talk to a random person next to me. Mm-hmm. And I would never have dreamed of doing that before.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's given me so much in my life, so many positives.
On you go, Clark.
So did PE, your experience in PE, did that impact you beyond your sporting achievements in terms of, I know PE would probably have prepared you for your journey in running in the athletics club, but did that help, you know, teach you any life skills such as determination and confidence to help you overcome challenges that you had?
Definitely, because, so obviously PE and sports, they inspired me to be competitive and show me that. But then, you know, as I got older, so I completely specialised in athletics. I just didn't really want to deviate. And, you know, doing that one sport only gives you so much. It's not a team sport. It's very individual. So like being in school and having to do things like basketball and hockey, and there's a game that we play as well called goalball, which is for blind people. It teaches you different skill sets and makes you adapt. And
What was the name of that sport you just said there? Sorry.
Goalball.
Right, okay.
You'll have to check it out.
I'm going
to
check it out.
It's done properly. It's really good, but it's pretty rubbish.
You're
blindfolded. There's three people and you're blindfolded. And you've got a bell ball, and you have to basically throw the ball into the goal, and you have to defend it by throwing yourself on the floor.
Right.
Have to check it out.
It's good it's good for, I've got a sports leaders class at the moment, and we do a module on disability inclusion, and we recently did a lesson just looking at all like kind of various disabilities and how like they had to do a wee research project on how the different activities could be adapted for each of the disabilities. So that's a it's just something I'm going to check out, and I can share that with them because we've still got to do a wee bit more on it. So
yeah, and it's good fun. It's good fun. It's just a bit silly.
Yeah.
But you know, you can get resources, you know, like the bell balls, you can get them from like the RNIB shop.
Yeah, we can probably get some stuff like that with the school's budget for modules like that, because it's really helpful.
Yeah, they are. It is really helpful, and you can use them for like loads of other different types of games as well.
Yeah.
For, like, sensory stuff. But in school I have to do all that kind of thing as well. So even our teacher made us do gymnastics.
It
was so rubbish. Yeah, I was rubbish. And we had two teachers. We had a lady called Anne-Marie Fleming and a guy called Simon Stevenson. And they basically made us do that. And I was like, oh my gosh.
So were your PE teachers then, I take it, were they like specially trained, or did they just go to like normal like Jordan Hill or whatever PE teaching uni they went to and then just applied for that school?
I think so. I think that's what they did. And then they ended up just doing modules when they were at the school.
I'm right, got you. So yeah. additional training on top of it.
Afterwards, mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't think you don't need any additional training, in my opinion. I think if you're open-minded and you're
for sure.
Adaptive, I don't think you need to necessarily have additional training.
Yeah.
But I was in a really small school as well. So there was like 8 of us in my year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's very nice numbers.
Yeah, that'd be the dream, wouldn't it? That's what I'm saying. I'm just thinking back to like my time on my postgrad at uni. I can remember we did do like modules, like inclusion modules, where we did get a chance to put blindfolds on and play football with the bell to actually experience it and see what it was like. But again, it's like a 1 year course, so you're trying to cram absolutely everything in. So it's it just shows you like having that kind of knowledge, being open minded, and having some ideas up your sleeve. So like this conversation is just super helpful for us tonight, and obviously for the people we're going to be sharing it with on like the difference it can make, because nowadays in your classes you do have you're so stretched with all the different needs and abilities in your class. So it's really good to.
I think as well, like, the Paralympic Games in general has just shown people how they can adapt stuff anyway. So there's things that I see people do and I'm just like blown away.
Yeah.
The training that they're doing.
It's inspiring.
Things that, definitely. And even me as somebody that's like really immersed in that environment still is learning.
Yeah. So, I think it inspires everyone to have a no excuse mindset. Like when you see some of the things that people are getting, you know, that they're doing with their disabilities. So it's very inspiring.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, moving on then with Lewis, has got a question now.
Yeah, so back again, kind of keeping it on the theme of PE. So we've kind of touched on it a little bit with the basketball example. So maybe looking at when you went to the Royal Blind School in Edinburgh, is that, am I right in saying that? Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Royal Blind School in Edinburgh. How did your teachers kind of, like out with the basketball example, make PE inclusive for you? Or if you're giving advice to maybe current teachers, what would be kind of advice that you would give them if they had maybe a pupil who had a visual impairment in their class to obviously make the lessons more inclusive?
So I think it like, obviously it depends on probably what level of vision they've got.
Mm-hmm.
But say, for example, we would...
So say we had a young Libby Clegg in our class.
Yeah. Okay. So like, say for example, when I got like left out of like, I don't know, badminton, for example, they could have just given me a tennis racket and got me a ball with a bell in it and let me do that and just got someone else to do that with me.
Yeah.
At that particular time.
And got you involved rather than just taking the easy option to sit at the side.
Yeah, exactly. So just involving me in it rather than, you know, just excluding me. Even letting me do it on my own a little bit, even if it was a separate aside from everyone else, so obviously not necessarily batting it back and forth, but just letting me learn myself. It might take me a bit longer to learn it, but just to let me build that skill set up, that kind of thing. Like football, they could have just got a ball with a bell in. That would have made a massive difference. Same with like basketball, netball, that kind of thing. Because you know, most kids are pretty patient.
Yeah.
And understanding.
Yeah, 100%. No, I agree with that. I have
they
seen
are,
it.
They are. I think sometimes we worry about, like, as adults, what they think sometimes.
Yeah, but how that might impact like the rest of the class and all that. But it totally is like they're understanding.
Sometimes, you know, you've got to remember, even if you don't have a disability, there's always kids in that class that really feel far behind anyway. So by taking it back a bit, you're not necessarily, you know, holding the rest of the class back. You could actually be giving other people an opportunity to sort of
experience it
as well and experience it too. Especially when you've got, when I look back in my mainstream school that I went to, when you've got people that are really sporty and really ambitious and really driven, and then you've got people that, you know, you can tell that they don't really want to be there. They don't want to be there because they think they're rubbish. And they feel like class is moving on quicker than them. So sometimes you just need to be like, you know what, these guys, they know what they're doing. I'm just going to set them something slightly different.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah.
I think that's the beauty about a P class. You can go around the groups and kind of support and challenge as you see fit and push other people on, and then everyone's that engaged in the task that they don't even know that they're at a different, you know, level to anyone else.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing, making sure that you're in, you know, in a group, working, if it is a team exercise or a group exercise, just making sure that you're in a group that is the same sort of level as you.
Yeah.
You don't feel like completely out of your depth. Because I used to hate that sometimes. You know, when you know that you're the worst one and you're like, oh no.
Oh, you're holding everybody back.
And no one wants to, you know, play that game with you, and it's rubbish. That sucks.
You do. Yeah, I know, because it is hard for some young people in like a PE lesson, and they do feel like they're, like, because all the players in their team will get onto them if they like miscontrol the ball or anything like that, and it can be quite hostile at times.
I know, sometimes it is better to do like a competitive and a non-competitive game.
Yeah.
Definitely. We'd play rounders sometimes, and I couldn't hit the ball at all. And this is actually one thing that they did quite well, is they would, if there was somebody that, you know, so there's always a kid that's injured, like, you know, sprained ankle.
Always reading notes every day.
Or someone that just was not enthusiastic. They would let me run for that person.
So
they would hit the bat and I would run.
Right, okay.
So yeah, that was quite good fun as well.
Just so you were doing extra runs.
Yeah, doing it. I was just like, well, you can hit the bat and I'll run for you.
That's good.
It's good fun.
Very enthusiastic.
Yeah. Aye, rounders is class. I love it when it gets to the summer and you can get outside and get some rounders in. It's brilliant. What a sport.
You were still teaching it in November, weren't you?
Rain, snow, or wind, whatever. We're doing rounders.
It's a freezing, you're loving it.
Aye, it's brilliant. One of my favourites, to be fair. Aye, it is.
No, it is. Right, okay.
I was just going to say that's definitely helpful, like just those wee insights, even just giving people something that they can be doing, working away at, like on their own, so they're still involved in the lesson, still making progress. So that's those wee ideas and insights are brilliant. So thanks for sharing that, Libby.
That's all right.
Yeah, I think it is a big part of our job is to make it inclusive. I think the easy option is just to, as Libby said, sit to the side or just go with one task and don't adapt it.
Yeah. My takeaway from it is it's like it doesn't have to be perfect. It's like you're getting them involved and, do you know what I mean? It's, you sometimes put too much pressure on yourself, like I'm a meeting, like the needs 100%. Absolutely perfectly for everybody, but it's still getting them involved and
give them some sort of experience.
Making progress. Yeah, absolutely.
Take away from it every lesson. But okay. Looking at the last question then, Libby, of the main part. What value do you think PE has to contribute to a child's attainment and well-being? How important do you think PE is to contributing towards that in a school?
I think PE is absolutely crucial, to be honest. For quite a few of the reasons that we've obviously already mentioned, even just the obviously this is just a physical element, getting to the physical level of exercise, but it's learning different skill sets. So whether that's an actual skill of, like, you know, hitting a ball, which may not seem that important necessarily at the time, but it's learning how to persevere at something.
Yeah.
Because, you know, most people aren't just good at something as soon as they, you know, pick it up. You know, people always have to work it. And I think PE does teach that, and you get that variety of different opportunities to different sports. I think it's really, really important. You've got individual sports, but then obviously the team sports. So then it's not only necessarily the physical element of learning a new skill and persevering at it and learning not to give up when it gets really difficult, but mm-hmm. then it's the social element of it, working together as a team. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really a really important skill set, and learn how to communicate. And I think sports are a really fun way to do that, or it can be if it's done properly. And you know, it's a great way to actually see how you can progress as well. You can set yourself little targets, and you can see the physical outcome, whereas I don't think you can necessarily see that in other elements of your school curriculum.
I think
test as an outcome, but it's different seeing those little micro goals being hit and changes. I think all accumulate and add up at the end.
Yeah, I think it makes you happier, doesn't it? Seeing that internal seeing that progress, and makes you feel as if you're making positive improvements, which does make you happier. I think that's just the same for ourselves as well. When we're training towards our goals, it makes you feel alive, and I think it'll be the same for the pupils.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, that for me, that's, I think it is crucial. And then, you know, it does help you in other elements of your life. So, you know, you might not be necessarily the best footballer, but you might be a great communicator. And that, you know, that can take you in so many other places in your life. It doesn't necessarily have to be in sport. It can be, you know, in business or language.
So transferable, isn't it?
So transferable. So I think it's one of those really unique subjects that can give you so much more than what it just sort of is on the tin.
Yeah, 100%. Like, so the personal qualities that you mentioned, like perseverance and communication, like they are skills that you can transfer into other subjects than after school. I think it's just like highlighting that when you're teaching as well. So it's not just learning the skill of a pass in hockey. It's definitely more than that, isn't it? And it's just trying to just drip feed, highlight the importance of the skills. Sometimes the kids don't know the skills are developing. They're just so fixated on the game. Sometimes it's just trying to highlight it and, you know, bring it to their attention and make it purposeful.
It's almost like it's not the end outcome that's like the most important. It's the process of doing it, isn't it? Like, that's where it's just trying to how do you communicate that to a young person though, and get them to, that's the hard part, is to get them to really understand. Like you say, it's a journey, and it's not the past that's important. It's the things that come along with that are kind of, that maybe go unnoticed from a teenager. You know what I mean? The perseverance and those kind of skills that they're learning as they're persevering to actually learn that new skill.
I don't think they see the value in it at that point.
Nah.
And you know, I think as well, it sometimes depends on like the teacher that you have as well. You know, being able to sometimes understand where a child's coming from if they don't want to do it, but trying to explain the reasons that it's not about the physical element of it, really. That's the important thing. Having to do that. But it's really difficult because, you know, sometimes when I've had a really negative experience, they just don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
I know when I was in school, girls would be like, oh, I'm on my period, I can't
yeah.
today. And it's like, oh my gosh, like, your life doesn't stop.
Yeah, I know.
And it's really difficult to like explain to them like why it's important to carry on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just trying to have it well articulated, isn't it? So that you can just like come back with it, and but you end up just getting like tripping up on your words, and it's like, trying to get that point across, it's important. But no, it totally makes sense. That's a good way of putting it. I like that. It's not the actual like the skill or that's like the important part. Mm-hmm. It's the other things that are associated with it. But that's the way it's going just now anyway, in like the Scottish curriculum. It's like all the benchmarks and all those sort of softer skills and the wider aspects that are associated with sport that can improve your quality of life and those different skills in your life to obviously improve
it. I think as well, I know a lot of people say about, oh, you know, it's about participating. I do think it's really important to be competitive
Yeah.
Not to the detriment of everybody else that you're with, but I do think it's really important to still be competitive. But it's for those people that, you know, it's not necessarily, you know, their special subject is not necessarily sport. It could be music. And just to know that they can apply the skills that they learn in sport into their music, and they are transferable skills. Mm-hmm. And they can also take the skills from, say, music, you know, the perseverance that it takes, the hours that they have to put into it, they can still use the skill sets that they learn in those subjects, like that, for example, to like transfer to sport. And, you know, a lot of these skills are transferable into different subjects. And
yeah, for sure. It just, they all complement each other, don't they?
Definitely.
But, no, I think that's definitely an insightful way to leave the main body of the podcast. So thanks again for obviously your answers to all those questions, Libby. They were brilliant and some really good insights in there on kind of how we can support people that have visual impairments or whatever in our class, because it can happen. Like, we can have pupils in our classes that do have that. So it's really good for the teachers listening to these podcasts, and hopefully it helps. So we are going to move on to the final bit of the podcast now. So it's three quick questions. So off the top of the head, doesn't even need to link to anything we've spoke about just now. It can be anything. Can I? Well, even the first one maybe. I'm trying to. No, question three links to the podcast. The first two don't necessarily need to. So, right, you ready?
Go for it.
Okay, if you could have a giant billboard anywhere, what would it say on it?
Giant billboard.
Massive one.
Oh.
Your favourite quote?
Really, it's, I would say, failure doesn't kill dreams, doubt does.
Failure doesn't kill dream, doubt does. Yeah. Brilliant, love that
never
one.
I've never heard that one in the 106 yeah. episodes, I like it.
Like, to fail is to learn, like, as long as you fail and learn and make mistakes from it, you learn from the mistakes you make by failing.
Yeah.
Otherwise you'd be sat there thinking, oh, I should have done that. Oh, I never knew that. Down yourself, yeah?
Yeah, brilliant. A good message of that. Right, number two then. Which people or books have had the biggest influence in your life? You can go with both or you can pick one. It's up to you.
Say that again, sorry. What?
Which people or books have had the biggest influence on your life?
To me, I think probably the person that's had the biggest influence on my life was my first guide runner, Lincoln Asquith, in terms of he taught me how to behave. Mm-hmm. That sounds really silly. But when I was starting out my career, he said something really important to me once. And he said, Libby, what goes up always comes down. How you treat people on the way up is how hard you'll fall.
Mm-hmm.
So if you treat people like crap on the way up, you're going to have nobody there with a crash mat when you hit a low point in your life. And I've always remembered that. And
That's true.
Yeah, I'd say he'd had be the biggest influence in that sense. Lots of other things as well, but
And how long ago was that he said that to you and it's still stuck with you ever since?
He said that to me in 2006.
Wow.
So
you treat people on the way up, be careful.
Yeah, so what goes up always comes down, and it's true.
It totally is, isn't it? Because there'll be some point in your life where you need to reach out to somebody, and if you've not been ideal with them, then they're not going to be there for you.
Nope, and I've tried to tell people this sometimes, you know, when you're having a little diva moment. I'm like, what goes up always comes down.
Yeah.
Just remember that.
Yeah, good. It's a good, an important message, definitely. Right, final one then, number three. What one piece of advice would you give to a teacher looking to improve their PE lessons to maybe make them more inclusive? If you had to give one piece of advice.
Just don't put any pressure on yourself, you know. Try new things, make mistakes, see what works, and you know, you'll know what doesn't work.
No, it's pretty
okay. It's okay to try and get it wrong.
Brilliant.
Nice one. I like that advice. Thanks very much, Libby, for coming on to the podcast. That's us finished up with the episode. We hope that you enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of your evening.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
That was really nice to chat. That was good.
Yeah, thanks very much for giving up your time, Libby, to come on and share your insights. It was really, really good to chat to you, and I'm sure a lot of people will take so much away from this episode. So thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of OBO in partnership with SATPE. We hope you've enjoyed today's discussion and been able to take something away that you can transfer into your teaching or indeed your life. Until next time, we hope you have a fantastic week. Take good care of yourselves.